Hey, Dr. Bill here. So we're super excited about Leap Week 2024 at USC. I never thought I'd say that, but we're doing it. Apparently, UCLA is building the Olympic Village there, and they just don't have room for the 450 of us. So we're going to go to USC this year and hope for the best. That being said, we've got a great lineup. Anthony Hopkins is coming. Shay Mitchell's coming. Not only is she known for Pretty Little Liars, but she has one of the most successful luggage lines at Nordstrom's. Amy Adams said she'll come if she can. Paula Abdul, every year she comes. We also have a bunch of surprises and some really amazing, amazing things set up. So if you don't know what Leap Week is,
LEAP is an entrepreneurship program for high school and college students aged 15 to 25 that we have taught at UCLA for the last 16 years. What do we teach? We teach students skills to be successful in life. And the coolest thing about LEAP is that I've asked so many of my celebrity patients and business leaders to come and help, and they do. We've had Mark Wahlberg, Paula Abdul, Michael Strahan, Kathy Bates, Anthony Hopkins, Apollo Ono, Eric Garcetti, Jason Alexander. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And these people come and share the secrets of their success with our LEAP students. Typically, we get about 500 to 550 students every summer, and we literally pack them with so much information. It's like drinking from a fire hose. And one of the parts that the students love most is when we bring in these mentors. So we started this Meet the Mentor series because we didn't want this to just be a one and done week. We wanted to do it throughout the year and continue to give these students great information from great mentors to teach them how to do businesses in every field you could ever imagine.
Today we have Sarah McTaggart, who is a friend of mine, and she grew up in Cayman. She said she always knew that she wanted to be an artist, and over the years, that evolved into being a musician, a singer, a performer, and a songwriter. When she was young, she started singing in church. She actually went to art school and in college studied animation, thinking that that would be a great career move. But can you continue to write and perform music, starting with an open mic night at local clubs? It was there that she actually caught the performance bug and began seriously pursuing a career in singing and songwriting, which is what she's doing today. In 2015, the band that she was actually in kind of transformed and renamed themselves and became Transviolet, which is an alternate pop rock band in which she is the lead vocalist and writes almost all the music, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And she has become a great piano player, too. I know Sarah through her husband, Chris. And Chris, unbeknownst to me, is an amazing piano player. We were skiing at my place in Deer Valley, and I thought Sarah was the only musician in the family. I start hearing this music, and I look out, and there's Chris. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So you guys actually met because of music, right?
Not quite, but we when we first met, he had a guitar in his apartment, and the next morning he came out, and I was on the couch playing guitar in my underwear, and I think that's a big reason why he kind of fell in love. but I taught him how to play guitar because he was like, I've been having that sit there for ages and ages, and I've always wanted to play, and I was like, I'll teach you how to play guitar, and he's like, I actually know how to play piano, and turned out he really knew how to play piano. He was a classically trained pianist, so he taught me how to play piano. I taught him how to play guitar. It was a good trade.
So let's go back to the beginning. Here you are, this little kid in Cayman, and you start fiddling around with music. At what point did you actually say, this can be my life, this can be my career?
Well, it's actually when I was in college in San Diego. I was in animation school and really thought that that was the career I was going to go down. I always knew I wanted to be an artist. I thought this was the most practical way to make stuff happen and you know, make a life for myself. But I still really loved music. So I was playing at open mic nights around the city, and was getting a lot of really good feedback from my friends and from just fans that would come to the open mic nights.
So was it just you and your guitar?
Just me and my guitar, yeah.
And was this, were you doing covers or was this music that you wrote?
I was doing both at the time. I was doing covers and some original songs, and I was getting a lot of like love on my original songs. People saying, you're actually like a really good songwriter. You should do more of this, or you know, you should take this seriously and
make something happen. So I thought, okay, I will. And I then moved to the Cayman Islands and just continued performing open mic nights there.
And I made a profile on a musician networking site. And at the time, just had my little webcam and my guitar and just was performing my songs, you know, like that, and threw them up online and thought, okay, this isn't great. I hope someone can see through the quality. But looking back, I think that that was like a really, that's kind of what helped me find like-minded people, helped me level up. Was not letting perfectionism get in the way of pursuing what I wanted to do.
You know, I always ask this of performers and artists. There had to be a point in your career where you had like a big break, right? What was that?
Our first big break happened after I connected with my bandmate through that musician networking site, and we'd put some stuff online, and a label discovered us, and you know, really encouraged us, put us in the room with a lot of like big name producers and people that really took our music to the next level. And then after that, we, you know, we had the song Girls Your Age. Girls your age never mean what they say. It was a song that I really loved and the band really resonated with, but to be completely honest, you know, our team didn't really understand it. The song was kind of slow. There wasn't any drums until, you know, the second verse. It didn't sound like a radio hit, but they agreed to let us put it out anyways. So we put it out, and within the first week that it was released, Katy Perry tweets the song as her song of the day, and Harry Styles tweets the lyrics. So we go from this little tiny band with 200 followers on Instagram to opening for 21 Pilots and touring internationally and opening for Dua Lipa. So that was like the true big break. And
you knew
that.
Katy Perry as a kid, right?
Yeah, we grew up together. Her mom and my mom were best friends, and her little brother and I were like childhood sweethearts. Like, we would always have like fake marriages, and like Katy would be the officiant wrapping me in toilet paper saying that was an Arabic bride, and you know, it was really cute. But you know, Katy Perry became Katy Perry, and hadn't spoken to her in years, but I guess our moms were still in touch, and you know, thanks mom for sending my music to her mom, because Katy heard it and liked it and tweeted it, and yeah, it changed the course of our career.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. She, I first met her in the office right when her first big song came out, I Kissed a Girl, right? And at the time, I had three little girls running around the house singing that. And Kay's like, Doc, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that was going to be a hit. And by the way, speaking of big breaks, I want to say a public thank you to Sarah. She's giving my daughter, Anna, a big break.
Aww.
I'll be seeing you.
Anna's going to open for Sarah's group Transviolet. They're going on tour. They're doing 18 cities, and Anna will open half the cities. So I thank
super
you for
excited
that.
Yeah, she's so talented. I'm so
yeah,
excited to have Anna
so
on the road.
Crazy
with us.
I've been following your career ever since we've known each other, and just, you know, watching and loving your stuff and all that. And I never thought my daughter would like follow in your footsteps. I always hope what like one of my daughters would follow in my footsteps, but I just hope Anna follows in your footsteps. It's a very, very exciting time. So I will be at most of those performances.
Yes, let's go.
It's going to be fun. So you guys started Transviolet in 2015. How did you come up with the name?
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, we sat down, and originally our band name was called Noise Floor, and that was the band that I started with myself, Michael Panic, and Jonathan Garcia. And there was already another band called Noise Floor in like Indiana or something.
Who knew?
Yeah, so we're just like, okay, so our lawyer was like, you guys have to change the name. So we're like, okay, back to the drawing board. And I tell you what, picking a band name these days is like the hardest task you could put anyone to because everything is taken. Like,
yeah, it will branding anything.
Yeah, like it exists already.
But doing what you did is so smart, and I've copied the same thing. Is create a name.
Yeah, because, make up a word.
Yeah, if you try to like find something, somebody else, I mean, who would have thought, what was it, noise floor?
Noise floor, yeah, because right. It's like a really dorky like production term. And like, we never thought anyone would have it or even know what it meant. Most people don't know what it means anyways. But yeah, so we literally sat down on the floor. It was me, Judah, John, and Mike. We're all sat on the floor of our band house with encyclopedias and poetry books. And we're just like, let's find some inspiration. And so we found the word transcendence, and we really loved that idea of transcending kind of beyond the physical realm into the metaphysical. And we also really liked this poem by Charles Bukowski called When the Violets Roar at the Sun. And we're like, wow, that's really interesting. And because it's kind of about breaking free and, you know, being yourself. And we really liked that idea. And we also really liked the connotations behind violet of it being the crown chakra and your connection to the divine and this balance of masculine and feminine energies, because masculine energy is represented with red and feminine is represented with blue. And the combination of the two is balance. So we liked the idea of all those together. And transviolet just sounds cool. It sounds like transparent
sounds
violet or
cool.
Something. So we're like, super we like that.
Cool. You know, when Spanx first came out, they put an X at the end, mm-hmm. right? And that way she owned everything. I have a new whitening product. It's called Poof. And it's like a white strip that melts in your mouth.
So I can't wait to try these.
Yeah, the tagline is stains disappear, strips disappear, and poof, your teeth are white. So I wanted to name it Poof. Well, you can't own Poof
right.
unless you add another O. So Poof is spelled P-O-O-O-F. With
there you
three
go.
O's, I own everything. So.
There you go. Yeah, make up a word. That's
yeah.
how you do it.
Yeah, I think that.
make it up, misspell
you
it.
You almost have to today. If you have any idea for any product in the world, mm-hmm. it's literally impossible to find a word that hasn't been taken in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And it's cool if you make something up too, because then people associate it just with you. Like there's kind of no attached associations with that word because it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. So I want to kind of go through a little bit of a timeline.
Sure.
Because we may have students out there that would like to become musicians. So kind of take us from the beginning up to where you are now.
Sure.
And then from now, where you want to go.
Sure.
You know, so yeah. In the beginning, you start playing these clubs and open mics and things like that. And then how did the whole thing start?
Yeah, I mean, so 2010, I think, was the moment I decided, okay, I really want to do this seriously. I started playing open mics. Like I said, I was getting good feedback. From there, I decided, okay, I know that I want to be in a band because I know my strengths are songwriting and melodies and singing. I know what my weaknesses are, and those are engineering, recording myself, production, creating the instrumentation. Like, that's not my strength. So I want to find someone else that's really good at that. My passion is songwriting and lyrics and singing. I want to find someone else that's just as passionate about making the music.
Right.
So I knew I wanted to live in San Diego because I went to school there and I wanted to go back. And so I was kind of like manifesting and thinking like, okay, I know I'm in the Cayman Islands. I have $40 in my bank account. I have no way of getting back to San Diego, but I'm just going to put it out there and I know the pieces will fall into place. So I created this profile on the Musician Networking site. I said I was in San Diego. I put up my little videos and my bandmate Mike found me and said, hey, I have this track. I think you'd be really good over it. I like your voice. I think you make really cool melodies. Like, do you want to write over it? And I said, yes. And but then I had to come clean and say, I'm not actually in San Diego. I'm 3,000 miles away in the Cayman Islands. And I have no idea how to like properly record myself. I just know how to record myself on webcam. So he said, that's okay, I can help you. And he kind of walked me through how to record myself. I went and bought, you know, a little interface and a microphone for $200 and set it up with my laptop. And I recorded myself that way for a whole year, just writing to the tracks he'd sent me. I would send him my vocals and he'd put it all together, make it sound good. And we created five songs that way.
Wow.
And I guess like the steps along the way that I'm really proud of when looking back is like I never let perfectionism get in the way of finding like-minded people and letting those people help me level up. Because it could have been easy to be like, okay, I don't have any way to record myself. This is like a webcam video. This sucks. I should just not even try. But instead, I was like, I'm going to find someone that sees through this. And I did. And then same with these songs. You know, like they were good. They weren't like radio ready songs, but they were enough. Like I knew that someone was going to see through them. So we did. We put them up online. And that's how we got our label's attention. Because right. they heard my voice. They heard my writing. They heard the instrumentation from my bandmates. And they saw that it was good enough and there was potential there. And then from there, they found more like-minded people. And they put us in the room with bigger producers and people that saw the vision. So we just kept collecting these people that were like-minded, who saw what we were doing, who saw value in what we were doing, and helped us level up. And, you know, from there, I met my friend and collaborator, Alex Reed, who I wrote Girls Your Age with and a lot of the early songs with. We continued to work together. And, you know, once that was released, that put us on a whole other crazy trajectory. From there, it was just a matter of like, okay, I'm just going to keep going. I know that if I keep trying, I keep writing, I'm only going to get better. And now these days, like I'm fully able to record myself. I actually do production on my own as well. And even when I'm in the room with these big producers or songwriters, I've continued my own music education to where I can communicate really well exactly what I'm hearing and what I want to do. So when I look back at that girl that was just like singing in front of her webcam and like was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just going to put something out there. It's like, wow, like because I did that, I was able to put myself in the room with so many people who've taught me so much. And now it's like, it's so cool to now work with people that are kind of in the beginning stages and be able to give back and like show them like, hey, this is how you write a song, or like, this is how you can build production. And yeah, now we're completely independent. We have our own label. We've been self-releasing since 2019. We've done headlining national and international tours. We're
amazing.
Yeah, getting ready to maybe go tour Europe, which is a secret. It's not confirmed yet. In next year. And it's all just been, it's been really great. And I'm just excited that I get to do what I love and make music that I'm really proud of.
So Sarah, what would you say to a young artist who's just starting right now? Like, what are kind of the secret keys to success?
I'd say don't let perfectionism get in the way. Use the resources that are at your disposal and find like-minded people that see your vision and keep them close.
There are a lot of artists who start off not that good, but they don't give up. They continue to work and work and work on their craft and get better and better and better. And I think that that's a really important thing. I mean, it's a very, very competitive field. And you need to take vocal lessons. You need to, you know, have diversity. You need to be able to not just be like a one-trick pony.
No, that's so true. And to build on that, I'd say even like be okay with like failing, or like write a bad song. If you want to be a good songwriter, be okay with writing some bad songs. I've seen so many people get in their way of like not finishing something or not even starting in the first place just because they're like afraid to make something that's not good. It's like the songs you write in the beginning are not going to be good. You're going to write many, many, many bad songs. Same as like a fine artist, right? Like you're going to have many, many, many bad drawings before something starts looking good. So just like don't be afraid of that. Just know that that's part of the process, and know that you'll only get better. Yeah.
So if you could wave a magic wand right now and say, this is what I want my career to look like in 5 years, what's that picture look like?
Yeah, I would shoot big. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there because I think I can do it. I'd love to be performing at the Grammys. I would love to work with newer artists and help them develop their projects. I'd like to continue songwriting for EDM projects. Like that's something I've gotten into recently that I really, really love. I'd love to have a top 10 radio hit that's either mine or someone else's. Like these are things that I think they're I think they're going to happen. I think you have to have that kind of like, no, I know that this is going to happen to make stuff happen. And it's worked so far, so why
not? Hey, I see you and my daughter, Anna, doing a duet at the Grammys.
Let's go. Me and Anna.
Oh, my goodness. I would be like, die and go to heaven. That would be amazing. That'd be amazing. What would you say is probably the biggest challenge that you have as a musician, as an artist today? And how do you overcome that?
I feel like self-doubt is a pretty tough one, because there's always going to be external obstacles, people telling you, you know, whatever, this or that, or you're not good enough, or things aren't possible. But none of that really matters if you're sure of yourself and you're sure of your own abilities. So for me, in those moments of self-doubt, I always come back to, I'm resourceful, I'm creative, and I have so many people supporting me in what I do.
Right.
And that's kind of been my mantra throughout this whole thing. It's like, there's been so many times in my career where I thought, like, this is truly the end, you know, from not having enough money to even move, to being dropped from our first label, being dropped from our second label, being tied up in a contract where it looked like we were never going to be able to release music again. Like, there's been many points in my career where I was just like, this is looking pretty bleak. But it was those, that just like resolute of just like, I'm not going to let a piece of paper get in my way. I'm not going to let another person tell me I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, right. I know I'm going to do this.
Well, you're definitely going to do a tour, and I think your first tour date is in June in San Diego, which is kind of crazy coincidence because Anna will be in school down there. So you'll do San Diego, LA, and San Francisco, and I'll be at all three of those. We will put all the dates and everything on the site. So if you are anywhere in the country near Sarah when Transviolet goes on tour, we would love to see you at the concert, and maybe you could give her a little shout out at the end, huh?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right. Hey, Dr. Bill, over and out.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.